This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I can hear you through your masks. That's fantastic. It is a real privilege to be here today because on Sunday mornings, I'm normally in front of a lot of people who are much, much older than the people that are right in front of me right now. I'm a chaplain in an aged care home. And in our aged care home, we're not wearing masks in the home, which is fantastic, except for the speaker himself. So it kind of feels really, really different to my normal Sunday morning church experience. But welcome to those who are watching on TV as well or on their computers. This could be the morning, it could be the afternoon, it could be night. You could be in the middle of the night thinking, what can put me to sleep? How about I've listened to Josh Thomas? Good idea, folks. Well, we're going to have a look at some ideas. How was the first full week of 2021 for you? Was it any different to anything of 2020? One word I want to obliterate from the dictionary for this year is unprecedented. I think we had enough unprecedented things last year for it not to be unprecedented anymore. Everything we've gone through last year, we will probably go through again, and we won't need to keep using the word unprecedented. But I want us to kind of think about the year ahead. I haven't heard too many people, being that last year was so unpredictable, I think a lot of people are pretty scared to make New Year's resolutions. Has anyone put together a New Year's resolution this year? There's someone putting up her husband's hand. <that's> Maybe the New Year's resolution was to make my own decisions. I'm not sure. That stands to reason that not many of us are really thinking about much about the future. We're all kind of, it's so unpredictable. We don't know from week to week, day to day, what life is going to be like. Today, I want to put some of that aside and say there are some things that we can hope for, we can stand upon today. And we get it from the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to read to you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Yes, I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. As we come to this passage, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you take us as we are, and we thank you for that. You make our lives, our broken lives, the lives that we have so many disappointments, we have so many struggles. We also have plenty of joys too. But Lord, you journey with us through this life. And as we start 2021, I pray that you would fill us with great hopes and dreams. Encourage us with these words today, we pray, in your name. Amen. Two things that you might, I kind of get from the Apostle Paul is that Paul was probably a very driven man. I mean, if you read much of his of Acts or even about his letters, he's a very motivated person. And I'm sure that he was very, very interesting person to talk to. But one thing that I think that I would have loved to have spent some time talking with Paul about, I have a feeling that he was a bit of a sports fanatic. He must have loved sports. If you read any of his writings, he often talks about training or boxing. He talks about beating the flesh and so forth in a figurative way, but with a knowledge somewhat of sport. And I just hope that when I get to heaven, I can talk sports with Paul. But we also get a glimpse of that kind of idea or love that Paul has in this passage today, because he makes life to be out like a running race, And if you ever think of any sport in all the world, I've got to say running races has got to be the easiest and yet the most complex sport there is. I mean, come on. You go from here to there, you stay within two lines and you got to pass the finishing line and you got to beat everyone around you. Not too many rules there, right? No offsides, no free kicks, no sandpaper gate, none of that. Run from A to B as fast as you can. And in a way, life is like that. We're here, we get to there, the journey is ours to make. The choice is whether we make it alone or with God. But this morning, that journey starts a new year, 2021. 2021 brings its own hopes and dreams, it brings its own challenges, etc. But what might be any goals or anything that you have for this year? Some of you have already said that you have some goals or some New Year's resolutions, things you might want to change. But let's extrapolate that a little bit further. How about life? Have you got any goals in your life? Have you got things that you'd like to achieve? Perhaps in a physical sense, perhaps in a financial sense, perhaps in a relational sense or in a career sense, perhaps in a lifestyle sense. There's plenty of ways in which we can have goals in life. But I would like to ask Paul, what's your goal in life? What would you like to achieve? What would you like to be known for, Paul? If you die and they have a gravestone for you, what do you want to put on your gravestone? Well, we get the answer to that question in this passage today. Simply, Paul's goal is pretty clearly to know Christ. To know Jesus, not to know about him, not to know all the details about Jesus, but to simply know him. I had a friend when I was going through school who adored Dennis Lilly. Now, I'm so glad I've got some people my age and a little bit older who can remember Dennis Lilly. But for those who are younger, this is what Dennis Lilly looked like, okay? Dennis Lilly was the Australia's and probably the I think it was the world's greatest fast bowler of his time. He had the leading number of wickets in the world for a few years, and he was just someone that my friend, I'm going to call him Darren because actually his name was Craig, but I don't want to confuse that with Craig, our pastor, and I don't want you to have the thought in your mind of, as I talk about this guy, that his name is Craig. Darren, idolized this guy, Dennis Lilly. In fact, Darren would often, when we would play in the playground, he'd be emulating Dennis Lilly's action, and you could talk to him about Dennis all the time, about all his different statistics and what his strike rate was, what his economy was, and how many wickets he took on the weekend, and all this stuff about Dennis Lilly. In fact, he got to the point at one stage he'd wear a little headband around his head now and again, just to really be like Dennis Lilly. He knew everything about Dennis Lilly, except you go up to him and you would say, "Hey, mate, you love this guy. You act like him so much. You're so fascinated by him. Have you ever met him?" "No, I've never met him." You see, that's the difference between knowing about someone and knowing that person. Paul says, "I don't really care what I know about Jesus. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him." My wife, Shivana, and I are coming up to almost 30 years of marriage. And yet we continue to get to know one another. We knew a little bit about each other even before we got married. But as 30 years have gone by, we've got to know one another. We've been in a deeper and deeper relationship with each other. And Paul says, "I want to have that relationship with Christ. I want to know him. Not just know any facts about him, but I want to know him. I want to have a deep relationship with him." And he says very clearly in the first verses of what I've been reading that he wants to know the power of Christ's resurrection. He wants to know the hope that he can have through life. He wants to have fellowship in the sharing of his sufferings. Now, why would he want to do that? Why would he want to know the sufferings that Jesus went through? We know that Jesus had a terrible death. Why would you want to experience or at least have some kind of relation to that? Because he sees the humility of Christ. And he knows from Philippians 2 that humility also leads to exaltation ultimately. That to become like him in his death, realizing his own destiny, that he would ultimately experience the final victory of the resurrection of the dead. So to know Christ is to experience, have a relationship with him, not just to know the details about him. So this morning, as we look at how we ourselves can have a race of life that's glorifying God, one that follows in his footsteps. Let me help you try to remember today's message with a bit of an acronym. The acronym is FOCUS. You see, to attain a goal, you need focus. You need focus. And so the first one is the F. And Paul says that we need to fix our thoughts and our actions on our goal. Most people know that in order to have a goal, you need to have something that's attainable. You don't want to be airy-fairy with any direction that you want to take. You want to aim towards something. You need to be determined to make it to that goal. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be attainable. Otherwise, you're not going to accomplish anything. Some sad news about New Year's resolutions, that 90% of New Year's resolutions fail by the end of January. It's sad to say. However, the good news is 45% are more likely to succeed a New Year's resolution than a resolution made at any other time of the year. So if you're going to make a promise to yourself or a goal or an achievement to try to get to this year, now's the time to make that effort, because you've got a better chance this time of year. And that's why I'm kind of bringing this to you today. But we need to focus on that goal. Some people stick certain things on their fridge to remind themselves of what they're wanting to do, or what they're wanting to achieve or attain. But it takes some determination. It takes some focus, some fixation on our goal. So we need to do that. The second thing that we need to do is we need to, Paul says, observe the example of successful people. In verse 17, he says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. In summary, that is having a mentor. And one great thing that I love about this church is that we have some fantastic schemes and things organized so that we can learn from one another through mentoring systems and through accountability with each other. Mentors are people who have more experience than you in a particular area and that you can go to with questions, that you can perhaps even emulate in some way. I had a pastor who, as I was a student minister, who was my pastor. And oftentimes when I go visiting people, I would kind of question myself for the first few years, what would Brian do in this circumstance? Because he was kind of my mentor. Unbeknownst to me, I was soaking in the experiences that I would see in him. And it would actually be foundation to a lot of what I do in my own ministry. And we are all a great influence on one another. We all have opportunities to share the experience that we all have in life. And hopefully we can gain knowledge and help from one another as we observe and as we take in lessons learned from one another. So Paul says, learn from one another. In fact, learn from me, he says, and continue that journey. Thirdly, he says, but also, on the other hand, consider the outcome of unfocused people. Looking at verses 18 and 19, he says, for as I have often told you before and now say even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So where do they end up? Well, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. These people live for today. They live momentarily. They don't have any kind of plan. They don't put their faith in anything more than themselves. And we don't see that any more than we do today. People put their hope in themselves and in their own strength, or perhaps even in things that help them in achieving things within themselves. The real danger of living today is that people just don't grow. They don't learn from their experiences. They just continue to wander through life. And in the end, ultimately, they don't learn from their mistakes. They keep repeating them and ending up in some kind of destruction. So he warns people, if you want to focus your life on Christ, if you want to live for Christ, consider the outcome of unfocused people so that you might be deterred from those kinds of people in that kind of direction. But fourthly, and probably the most importantly, the U stands for utilize God's power. Utilize God's power. Back in verses 8 and 9, Paul talks about that I don't want to do it out of my own strength and my own standing in the law. I want to do it in my faith in God, because it's only God who can work in me to accomplish these things. In my own strength, I can only do so much. In fact, I've got a greater chance to fail in my life. But in faith in Christ, I have a much better journey. I have much better power in God. It's not a passive waiting throughout this life. We live a life that is wanting to move in a direction, and God wants us to move in His direction. So He gives us His power through prayer, power through His presence, power through His own Spirit in us. And when we receive these things, we actually live outside of our own strength, our own emotional abilities, and we put our faith and our trust in Him. Finally, the S. Stand firm in your commitment. Paul says, don't run on your own. Run together and stand together. Stand firm. Be accountable with one another. Perhaps being together provides us a greater sense of resilience, a greater sense of persistence, that we can lift each other up even through the difficult circumstances. When we talk about this, it's great to be in a connect group. If you're not in one, maybe that could be a New Year's resolution. Join together in a group that maybe you can share this year together, the challenges, the joys, the struggles. Let's do this together. I know it's hard, especially in this COVID environment. Many of us can't even come to church, but we're only a phone call away. We're only an email away. We're only a letter. Do you remember those things? A letter, a card away from one another. Encourage each other. Lift each other up. Urge one another on. See, Paul doesn't want to create lives of wishy-washiness. He wants us to be determined. He wants us to grow this year. He wants us to grow in our lives and to follow in his example by focusing our lives on Christ. I want to give you an example, a couple of examples as I finish today. If you read through Hebrews, there's a picture that the writer of Hebrews talks about this person running with great perseverance in this great stadium of witnesses. And he writes in chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We are in a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a race of life. It's a run. Enjoy it. But invite Jesus along with you on that journey. It is a pleasant ride. It might bring pleasure to yourself, but ultimately, we want to bring pleasure to our God. There was a 17-year-old prodigy who was playing in a piano concert. And after she'd finished, everyone in the audience, 1,000 people, stood up and applauded this young girl for a great rendition. And as she exited the stage manager over to the side said, "Can you hear that? There's 1,000 people there applauding you. And they're all shouting encore. Why don't you go out and play another song?" And the girl says, "I'm not going to." And the stage manager said, "Why? You've got 1,000 people all urging you to play another song. They love it." And the young girl says, "But there's one person who's not standing and applauding." The stage manager comes out and has a look, and there's a man right at the back with a moustache, and he goes back and says, "Well, you've got 999 people applauding and standing up. Go out and play for them." And the girl says, "I'm not, because that one person is my piano teacher. My piano teacher." Let me recall to you one final thing. Stephen gave one of the most incredible sermons in Acts chapter 7. And he's in the Sanhedrin, surrounded by all these academics. And he's sharing about the whole history of Israel and how they have been loved by God and how they had rebelled against God. And yet God loved them and God reached out to them and kept forgiving them. And they kept rejecting him all through the Old Testament. And then God gave his son Jesus and showed his love to them. And as he finished, you would imagine that after this great evangelistic sermon, people would get up and applaud and go, "Yes, Stephen, that is a fantastic word." Let me read to you what happens. Acts chapter 7. "When the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Now, I've studied the Bible for a number of years, and out of all the times that Jesus is in the presence of God, he is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the only time that I ever read in the Bible where Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. When someone has run their race, when someone has completed their journey and pleased our Heavenly Father, there's Jesus standing and applauding. And you know those words that come very clearly from the New Testament. Well done, good and faithful servant. Today, the decisions that we make for this year ahead, the decisions that we make for our lives are not inconsequential. They have great meaning for us, and I hope they do. I hope they express your innermost hearts and dreams. God loves you to dream. God's there with you. God's there running the race with you. And may Christ be your goal. And may our Heavenly Father be at the finishing line, giving you a round of applause. Well done. Hanging in there through 2020 and 2021 and the years to come. Hang in there. No matter what is on the horizon for you for this coming year, be encouraged that Christ is there and Christ wants to walk that walk with you. Let me pray for us. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for making us in your image. We thank you that you've made us with plans, your plans, that you have your own hopes and dreams for us. So, Lord, may we lean on you in faith. May we lean on you in power. May you guide us into your incredible riches of grace and love. And even as people are watching this today, perhaps they're really struggling. Lord, speak life into their lives. May you bring them to an acknowledgement that you are there in their presence, that you love them, just as Marcia held her daughter and said, I love you. I love you. We are dearly loved by you. We are doted upon like a father or a mother loves, dearly loves their children. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. But we also go into this year unknowing what's going to be on our horizon. But Lord, give us that focus in our lives that we might be able to bring glory and honor to our wonderful Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, in your name.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.